On Tuesday and Wednesday, October 29th and 30th, the Compassionate Boldness Symposium Part 2 will be taking place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan beginning at 7 p.m. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will lay out the teachings of Mormonism and show the differences with biblical Christianity. Make plans to come on October 29th and 30th at Shadow Mountain Church, located at 9324 South Holly Park Road in West Jordan. That's Holly, H-A-W-L-E-Y. Come and be informed. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Egalitarianism and complementarianism. What's the difference? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. The past couple of days, we have been looking at an article that was published in the Salt Lake Tribune titled Mormon Women Shut Out of All Male Priesthood Meeting. The article dealt with a group of Latter-day Saint feminists and their sympathetic spouses, in some cases, and other individuals that are sympathetic to that cause, who wanted to attend one of the priesthood meetings at the last semiannual general conference. And, of course, they were not allowed because priesthood meetings are designated only for males. Their basic problem is that they also want to have this priesthood authority that traditionally has been given only to worthy males in the history of the Mormon Church. This is the way it's always been in the Mormon Church. And so what this has come down to is they feel, and this is my opinion as I'm looking on the outside looking in, is they feel that if they can keep applying pressure to the leaders in the church, that eventually the Mormon Church will knuckle under and they will allow Mormon women to hold this priesthood. And they even cite precedent. They say, for instance, up until 1978, they kept saying, no, we're not going to give the priesthood to those of African heritage. And then eventually in 1978, they did a complete course correction on that. As I mentioned yesterday, there's a lot of things that comes with that priesthood blessing thing that, are, in my opinion, are very questionable, and especially the way the Mormon leadership is handling it now and not even knowing why blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood in the first place. That just shows me that either there's one huge, huge cover-up going on in the Mormon Church, or you had a lot of really inept people guiding the Mormon Church up until 1978. I mean, what other choice do we really have on this? Except, of course, if you take the traditional Mormon position, well, God changed his mind. To which I would say, why? Why all of a sudden 1978? That just seems odd to me. Why not earlier? Why not later? God's prophets, quote unquote, have spoken on this issue. Brigham Young, for instance, said it wouldn't happen until after the resurrection. So why 1978? But I'm using that example because they've used this example.
Well, and that's not the first time that took place, because we saw the same thing with polygamy. Polygamy in the 19th century, same thing. Just like the blacks were always to not have the priesthood, men should always have multiple wives, and don't ever let this go away. Brigham Young and others said that very thing. And yet, in 1890, political pressure, whatever you want to call it, they all of a sudden get word that they're supposed to no longer practice this.
I open the show by bringing up two words, complementarianism and egalitarianism. Let me just define what those two words mean, and then we're going to go on in looking at this controversy within the Mormon Church. First of all, complementarianism. It's a position that basically says that a man and woman in the church complement each other with their different callings and giftings. It holds to the position that there are different roles for women and men in the church, that there are some roles that men hold that women will not hold. It's as simple as that. On the other hand, there's what's known as the egalitarian position, and this teaches an equality in every area or every role within the church, such as a woman, for instance, being a pastor. If you're a complementarian, you would say, no, that's not what Scripture allows. So therefore, even though we would not consider women to be inferior in any stretch of the imagination, there are certain roles that a man fulfills as opposed to a woman. Now, you don't have to agree with that. And obviously, when it comes to Mormonism, there's a lot of women who don't agree with the position of the Mormon Church. But you have to ask yourself, if you're a Mormon woman wanting that change, why is it that you don't seem to trust the very authority that are given these men in that priesthood that you want? Obviously, you see a flaw in the way the men are handling it, and maybe you think you can do a better job. I don't know. But still, it sounds to me, as I've mentioned before, a bit of disrespect for the very authority that they claim that they want for themselves, at least that role, the priesthood role.
Well, I wonder at General Conference if these women who consider themselves to be Mormon feminists sustain the prophets and the leaders. Conference, they ask for that, and the right hand goes up. I'm wondering if they are giving their approval, or do they secretly not give their approval?
Or at least, are they offering some misunderstanding, traditional misunderstanding, that the Mormon leadership has had regarding the written scriptures that Mormons respect and the revelatory scriptures that have been given over the pulpit? It seems like they don't agree with them, that somehow they see there's a flaw in that authority the way it's been handed down.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that smacks of a problem right there. Because if they have been doing it wrong, then really, what is this authority to begin with?
Right.
It seems to be just as flawed as everyone else's personal opinion can be. So I'm really kind of at a loss on how to respond to that. But these women, obviously, and we have seen this on some Mormon blog sites, feminist blog sites, they feel like they are inferior to the men, even though, coming to the defense of the church leadership, they have insisted time and time again that that is not the case. It's just a matter of roles. And it sounds like a very similar argument that we see within Christian circles. There are different roles. We're not saying that women are inferior. And now, I know there's going to be some Christians out there who are going to be writing me on this, because there are a lot of egalitarians within the Christian circles. But if you're going to argue with me on this, you better give me some scripture. Give me something to go on. I don't want to hear your opinions, because opinions are a dime a dozen. And what we're seeing that's happening in the Mormon church, to me, is really nothing but another bunch of opinions. I don't see any of them showing where the Mormon leadership has misinterpreted some kind of scripture that they have respect for. Have you?
No.
It doesn't seem that way.
Yeah.
It's just they've drawn a conclusion, and they want to see a change based on the conclusion that they've drawn, even though it's a conclusion that I think a lot of the men that are in leadership in the Mormon church would say is erroneous.
I think the problem is if there's not some kind of authority, you're going to have chaos. And I think in this 21st century politically correct world that we live in, submission is a negative word. But if we look at John 14:28, it says, Jesus says that the Father is greater than I am. I don't think any Bible exegetical analysis of that verse is going to show that Jesus is lesser in being. Jesus was just saying in his authority, the Father held greater authority. And Jesus, according to the kenosis from Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself to become a man. And yet it goes on and says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think Jesus showed us there in his example by coming to this earth that there is ability to be submissive and yet not be lesser than, because that's not what the Bible passage is saying. Jesus didn't say the Father is better than I am. He's just saying he's greater than I am, because Jesus limited his authority to be able to come onto this earth.
But it's interesting how it's brought out in Philippians how Jesus humbled himself. And I guess the Mormon leadership maybe should be asking some of these women, are you humbling yourself the same way?
Well,
see, and I would say they would probably not see that kind of humility that was seen in Jesus in that particular verse in Philippians.
And that's a great point. Listen to what the MormonFeminist.org website says under What is Feminism? It's simple. Here's what they say. Simply put, feminists want equality for everyone, women and men. Feminists advocate for everyone to have the same opportunities in life, politically, economically, and socially. when it comes to Mormon feminism, I'm not quite sure that definition is going to run the table here, because I think every thinking person wants equality for opportunities out in the workplace and socially, politically. We want the equality there. But when it comes to the church, there's going to be different roles. And just because I have a pastor who's over me, I don't say, well, that pastor is better than I am. That pastor is the same. But I have given that pastor the authority to be able to guide me and lead me in spiritual manners. If these women are going to be part of the Mormon church, they're going to have to live under the rules of this church.
That's what struck me, is this is a church that through its entire history has held to this particular position. And now all of a sudden, because some members, and it's a minority, they talk about hundreds of women want this change, and yet We quoted the other day Ruth Todd, who was an LDS spokeswoman. She says, yeah, but millions of Mormon women don't want the change. So basically what you're saying is this little small group, this minority group, wants the great majority to change because of their understanding of how things should be, which is very typical of how our culture runs today. Mm-hmm. Look at how many times the very small minority seems to get their way in our culture, even though their way is certainly not considered to be the better way by the great majority. Mm-hmm. So it makes the great majority, in some cases, have to suffer because of the so-called rights that the minority claim that they are not having and want to have. We get back to, where does the buck stop? Where does it stop? Are we going to have everybody in an ecclesiastical authority? And I'm just looking at this in the context of the Mormon church. So all of a sudden now everybody's equal in authority. How is anything going to get done if there's some kind of impasse? Obviously someone has to take the reins and say, look, this is the way it's going to be. But it sounds like this group is saying, no, that's not the way it's going to be. We want equality in every area.
But you know what? This is the fault of the church leaders themselves, because they're the ones who always stress personal revelation. They're supposed to go to God and be able to be told their feelings, confirm what the leaders are saying, and they have the ability to have personal revelation. Well, these women apparently are having personal revelation that they should hold the priesthood.
But even within that, priesthood authority doesn't go up. It goes down. If you're a priesthood holder male, your authority extends to you and your family. It doesn't extend to the First Presidency. It doesn't extend to the Council of the Twelve. You don't speak for the whole church. That's the way the structure works. So I guess what we're saying here is, what kind of a Pandora's box does that open up? And tomorrow, we're going to look at what that possibly looks like through the words of a BYU professor in tomorrow's broadcast.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.